Amen. Amen. Let's start out, please, going to 1 Peter 2. And I'm just going to share verses 13 to 17. But today I'm only going to share it in the Message Bible. It says, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Respect the government. God said that he wants, it's time for his children to start living as true believers. And too many of us have been caught up in the climate of this world. But let me tell you something. God is concerned about the political climate. God's concerned about it. He's concerned about social issues. God is concerned about social issues. He's concerned about global warming. He's concerned about all of those things. And he's been concerned about it or thinking about it from before we were formed in our mother's womb. The first thing he did was put a control in place. If you go to Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28, he said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. And then what did he say? Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and keep it under control. If there's social issues, unresolved social issues and political stuff and all this other nonsense, if that's out there and that's prevalent, it's our fault. Because we haven't subdued the earth. The reason we haven't subdued the earth is we've been too busy becoming a part of the earth. Remember I said I could say something you love me and something you don't? Okay. I got to tell you the truth, because it's not just here. It's happening all over the world with believers. They're getting sucked up into the cares of this world. Everyone that I talk to at Winter Bible Seminar, most practically all of the messages are like, don't get sucked up by the world. Yes, the devil has a strong vacuum cleaner. But it's not stronger than the name of Jesus. It's not stronger than the Holy Ghost. And it's not stronger than a believer who knows how to operate in the fullness of their faith. See, we're going to get there in a moment. But every believer has faith. Every single believer has faith. First of all, if they didn't have faith, they wouldn't be a believer. Every believer has faith, but every believer doesn't operate in the fullness of their faith. What's the difference? You're going to find out. We get so focused on, you know, do I have great faith? Do I have little faith? Do I need ever-increasing faith? No, you have faith. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So you have faith. Jesus told his disciples, when they were asking him questions, because I guess they wanted to harbor unforgiveness. I know that doesn't happen today. But they say, well, okay, how many times? 7 times 7. And he said, no, 70 times 7. They're like, increase our faith. Did Jesus say okay? Did he say, yeah, I do need to give you more faith in order to do that? Did he say that? What did he say? He said, if you had faith. What does that imply? That they weren't operating in any faith. And there's another implication in there. He said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed. That implies to me that the faith that we were given was bigger than a mustard seed. Because he said, if you had faith, and it was only the size of a mustard seed. So I must have more faith than that. But he said, if I had faith the size of a mustard seed, I could speak to that mountain. I could speak to that sycamine tree. It'll have to obey me. It will have to obey me. And he didn't stop there. He said, and nothing will be impossible for you. So that lets me know that if I have the revelation of what my faith, the faith that was given to me, can do, nothing will stop me. But if I don't have that, everything will stop me. My faith needs to be full so that I can do what I've been assigned to do. See, there are four things. We're not going to go over all four today because I don't have time. But there are four things that are hindering believers. Number one, they don't know who they are. Number two, they're afraid. They're afraid of not having friends. They're afraid of repercussions. They're afraid of physical, you know, they're just afraid. Number three, they like what the world offers. The Bible, Paul said, Demas left me having loved the world. Do a study on Demas. You'll find out that his family were big muckety-mucks in the pagan church. And if Demas joined them, he would have great position and wealth and everything. And he started weighing things. Being stoned, thrown in prison. Having everything I could possibly ever want, and then some. Being stoned, thrown into prison, beaten with stripes, spit on everywhere I go, it started getting lower and lower on his list of things to do. We like what the world offers. And number four, we don't think we can make a difference. Galatians 3:24. The New Living Translation, I'll go from 24 to 27. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of our faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, you're a child of God. Through your faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 27 says, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. How many of you walk around in new clothes over your old clothes? No, you take your old clothes and you discard them. You give them the goodwill or good garbage, whatever. And you put on your new clothes and you go strutting around in your new clothes. You know how it is, Moses? You put on a new outfit, you know you look good, right? Your walk changes. You come out of your house and you just stand there and let everybody take it in. You even back the car out of the garage so you have reason to go out the front door. But there's no doubt that you now are wearing something new. And you want everybody to know it. Well, the Bible tells us to strip off the old man and put on a new man. We need to let everybody know I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and everything about me is now new. Everything about me. So if someone accuses you of doing something before you receive Christ, you can rightfully say you never did it. Because the new creature in Christ didn't. It's just that simple. It really is. We're God's children, period. And because we're God's children, we've been justified. We've been made righteous. And because we've been justified, and because we've been made righteous, God said, the just shall live by faith. The New Living Translation says, my righteous ones who live will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Once I've clothed you, you take them off, I'm not going to be happy with you. Period. We have to understand that we are God's children. And he expects us as his children to live by faith. Now look at Matthew 21. This is just Matthew's version of Mark 11, 23. But it says it a little differently. And we know this is still a story of the fig tree. They came back and saw that it was withered. And they remembered Jesus cursing it. And verse 20 says, astonished, his disciples asked, how did you make this fig tree instantly wither and die? Jesus replied, listen to the truth. If you have no doubt, listen to what he's saying and the way he's saying it. If you have no doubt of God's power and speak out of faith's fullness, you can be the ones who speak to a tree and it will wither away. Even more than that, you could say to this mountain, be lifted up and be thrown into sea and it will be done. Everything you pray for with the fullness of faith, you will receive. Not everything you pray for, you will receive. Everything you pray for in the fullness of faith. What makes your faith full? No doubting. No doubting whatsoever. No matter what comes, no matter how big it comes, no matter how often it comes, no doubt God's word prevails. No doubt. But if you're not thinking like that, then your faith isn't full. And the only thing that you'll have when you pray will be based on if you're praying, oh, woe is me, because that's all you're going to have if you don't have any fullness to your faith. Because you won't speak to the mountain and the mountain will move. Nothing you say will work except woe is me, because that's what you really believe. That's why bad things stay around so long? You really believe it's happening. And you're speaking in the fullness of faith. You believe, oh, woe is me. And you'll have, oh, woe is you. And you'll be upset with those who are walking around free. Like they think they're somebody special. They are. And they know it. Just like you are, you just don't know it yet. If you're God's child, you're special. Six, seven, eight. I think there are about nine people that know it. If you're God's children, you're special. Okay. Amen. See, faith brings the reality of the kingdom realm into existence. Faith unlocks great authority for the believer. Faith assures that if God said it, it'll be done. And faith causes the full power of God to manifest. Yes. Yes. Not partial. The full power of God will manifest if your faith is full. Amen. Everything we do, as I said earlier, must be done in faith. Everything. And the way we get our faith to be full is by getting the revelation on what it is and what it does. Understanding that I have faith. I can move mountains. I have faith. There isn't anything that I can't do because I have faith and my faith is full. I believe every single word that God has spoken. And I act like I believe. Mark 11:23, this is my favorite translation of this verse, the Ben Campbell Johnson translation. It says, truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes. That's very important. Very important. If your faith is full, or I should say, when your faith is full, no matter what comes, you will not back down or back away from what you just said. Because let me tell you something. When you stand and make a declaration of faith, we say that with the expectation that everything's going to get hunky-dory. Sometimes, occasionally, that may happen. But often, it's like I shared with you about my favorite teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Favorite biblical teenagers. Don't want anyone to say, I thought we were your favorites. They made a bold statement of faith. They stood in front of the king when the king said, I'm going to play the music. You're going to bow. If you don't bow, into the furnace. And the furnace was right there. And they stood in front of him and they said, we don't even have to think about this one. Do we say, we have to think about this? What do you say? No, we don't have to think about this. King, the God we serve will deliver us from your furnace. And as the Message Bible says, and anything else you may cook up. But here's the key. Even if he won't, we still won't bow down to your idols. Now, Christians believe that as soon as they say that, all the flames are going to disappear from the furnace. Christians believe they make that statement and the furnace just collapses. And they go around, glory, yes, hallelujah. No, the enemy had it heated up 7 times hotter in front of you. You're speaking to this thing or about this thing, and it gets worse. Where's your faith now? If your faith isn't full, you're like, together. Wait for the music. No, that's okay. No. 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 See, we have to get over having to wait and be patient. God said, you have need of patience. We think, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm healed. Man, my heart rate's still too high. But I prayed. I thought that when I prayed that the word would work in this. What do you mean you thought? Of course the word works. But my heart's still racing. So, what does that have to do with anything? I arrive in the emergency room in an ambulance. They have nitro paste on my chest, give me a headache. the EMT guy said, sir, do you have a headache? No, well, you're about to. Like, thanks a lot. And they get in, they pull you down, you burst through the doors, nurses run alongside you. Sir, how do you feel? I've never been better in my life. And they stopped the gurney. What did you say? I said, I've never been better in my life. You're in the emergency. Do you know where you are? Yeah, I'm in Good Sam emergency room. But you said you'd never been better in your life. I thought, look, how I feel has nothing to do with how I am. God's got this. He sent me to the right place. You are planning on taking care of me, right? I've never been better in my life. When they took my blood pressure, it was still 201 over 122. But I prayed. I declared. So I had rest. Because I learned the hard way that when I don't operate in the fullness of faith, it causes my blood pressure to go even higher. So we need to understand that we're going to speak, you know, these bold, demonstrative statements. And yeah, I'm going to walk around this 7 times. And you finish your walk and you're like, praise God, this is my house. This is my house. This is my. And you finish. You try and get in and the police come. Because it's not your house yet. The possession, the transfer of ownership didn't take place yet. But we need to understand, just because you said it doesn't mean that it's going to happen. It's going to manifest immediately. The change happens immediately. As soon as you take a dry seed and put it in the ground, immediately the growth process starts. You don't see it for 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know anyone that planted a garden and after 2 weeks didn't see anything, went out and dug everything else up. So I have to put more seeds. No, even though it's been planted, even though it's growing, it's doing what it was supposed to do, it's going to take a while for you to see it. When your faith is full, you'll realize that. And you'll speak it in full authority and you won't back down from what you said just because the change isn't immediate. It's not immediate, but it is imminent. So understand that. Speak to the mountain. Don't concern yourself with whether or not it moves immediately. Know that it has to move because you spoke to it out of the fullness of your faith. See, the other thing that happens when we speak to the mountain, you have to ask yourself, from what place are you speaking? Are you speaking from the mountain from a position of memory? Oh, I remember what the word says. I'm supposed to say, how does that scripture go again? When you speak to, oh, Lord, what is it? Something about a mountain. Oh, you doing this stuff from memory? You know what? Are you speaking out of desperation? Like, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. You got to do something. Oh, this is just too much for me. Are you speaking out of fear? you're afraid. Because if you are speaking out of fear, speaking from memory, speaking from desperation, you are not operating in the fullness of faith. You know, not that you don't have faith. You're not operating out of the fullness of it because you never got the revelation of what your faith can do. And the reason you don't have the revelation is you never took note of the miraculous events that have happened in your life as a result of your faith. You don't. When you start your car, glory to God. Thank you, because you believe that when you turn that ignition, I'm dating myself, when you press that button, your car is going to start. I don't know anyone, even if they are a certified mechanic, they do not go out and check their ignition system thoroughly before attempting to start their car. They get in, push the button, and they expect that car is going to start. And when they put it in gear, they expect it to move. Some of you expect that so much that you don't put gas in and think you can believe your way to the gas station. Not that that hasn't happened. I heard Brother Hagin and I heard some others talk about while they were on the road going from one place to another at the direction of God, where the car ran another 30 miles on E. They weren't trying to prove a point. They were doing what God told them to do. And they had to get 30 miles to the next gas station. But when you don't speak out of the fullness of faith, in addition to not moving, the mountain will do something else. It'll start mocking you. Then you really get depressed. You think you're all that, and then you something happens and it causes you to think that you're not. Now your adversary is talking smack to you. And you don't have an answer because your faith isn't full. You didn't have a revelation. Turn to 12 minutes. 1 Samuel 17. For the sake of time, I may read some passages and I may just tell you about it. This is the story of David and Goliath. Just like Pastor Clinton always went back to Genesis, I always seem to go to 1 Samuel 17. Now, let me just paint you this picture. You figure if this is the valley, God's chosen people were on this side. God's chosen, the people who had a history, the people for which there was a history of God wiping out all of their enemies. Who wiped them out? So they're on this side. On this side is the Philistine army, their enemies, who want to take them out. The two armies don't clash. Because the Philistines, they know God fights for them. So they had to do something else. So in the Philistine army was their champion, undefeated, Goliath from Gath, almost 10 feet tall. 10 feet tall. 4 feet taller than me. Okay. He couldn't stand in this room because the ceiling's only 9'6". So you imagine someone standing in this room like this, head hitting the ceiling. The point on his javelin weighed 15 pounds. Huge shield, had an armor bearer to hold his shield up. The way I think, I'm like, wait a minute, he's coming after me, and there's a person holding up his shield, I'm going to take him out. The shield's going to fall, and Goliath is standing there. But see, fear causes you to not think clearly. But the Israeli army, so they were used to God fighting for them, and they were not used to anyone threatening them. People were usually threatened when they heard that the Israeli army was coming. But now this giant steps out into the open, 126 pounds of arm, man. This was a big dude. And as Goliath stood there and called out to the Israelite troops, "Why bother using your whole army? Am I not Philistine enough for you? And you're all committed to Saul, aren't you? So pick your best fighter and pit him against me. If he gets the upper hand and kills me, the Philistines will all become your slaves. But if I get the upper hand and kill him, you'll all become our slaves and serve us. I challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man. Let us fight it out together." When Saul and his troops, mind you, God's chosen people, when God's chosen people heard that threat, they were terrified and lost all hope. They had history with God. Their whole lineage had history with God fighting their battles, wiping out their enemies, causing them to just walk in and pick up the spoils. They had that history. Yet this one person comes out and challenges them, and they lose all hope. This went on for 40 days. 40 days. And what I found interesting, remember I told you how you'll say something, you make a declaration of what you're going to do, and then a circumstance comes, and your faith just picks, you know, takes wings and flies away. The Bible says that the Israelites, the Israeli army, they were making their war cry. You know, they're clanging shields and they're stomping feet and they're shaking swords on what they're going to do to the Philistines and, you know, all this stuff. And so they get ready to go out, and Goliath steps over and makes his threat, and they all run away. They all run away. I guess the Christians would have believed they'd have spoken, and it would have been, and Goliath would have been lying down dead. And they walk around him saying, "Yay, our God did it." No, you have to do something. I started wondering, why did Saul and the Israeli army allow this to happen? 40 days of this abuse. The entire nation of Israel, why did they allow it to happen? Why did the priests allow it to happen? Why didn't they call everyone together and remind them of who they are? I'm not going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer the question, why didn't you tell the people who they are? And that's why I keep harping on who you are, who you are, who you are. That Israeli army didn't know who, that Saul didn't know who he was. And the priest's job was to say, we have a covenant with God. And this guy is under the covenant. No, they were afraid like everyone else. That's why I can't afford to let things scare me, because then I won't tell you the truth. They had something that, with all that Goliath had, the Israeli army had something that Goliath didn't have: a covenant with God. Every member of the nation of Israel was in covenant with God. Every single member. No one in the Philistine army had a covenant with God. No one. Enter David. He was going down there to take food to his brothers who were in battle. And while he was talking with them, Goliath came out and gave his challenge, and David heard him. And verse 24 says, the Israelites to a man fell back the moment they saw the giant, totally frightened. Then they didn't speak to the mountain. They started talking about the mountain. Have you ever seen anything like this? This man openly and defiantly challenging Israel. See, again, they weren't used to being threatened. They were used to being threats. This part amazes me, just knowing human nature. The man who kills the giant will have it made. the king will give him a huge reward, offer his daughter as a bride, and give his entire family a free ride. That was a big deal. See, usually the king's daughter was the runner-up of the most beautiful woman in the land. Because the king's wife was supposed to be the most beautiful. His daughter was next. So you get the king's daughter, a huge amount of tax-free money, and a free ride for you and your entire family for the rest of your lives. And the Israeli army said, that's nothing to die for. And all I got to do is go against this guy and win? No, I'll stay poor, pay taxes, and marry somebody. I don't know. But David, you know, he was talking to the men standing around in verse 26. He said, what's in it for the man that kills this Philistine, and I like this part, and gets rid of this ugly blot on Israel's army? Folks, circumstances are an ugly blot on the family of God. It's an ugly blot, and it needs to be removed. All of you need to become Dr. Pimple Popper. it's gonna be nasty, but it's gonna be gone. Then David said, who does he think he is anyway? This uncircumcised Philistine taunting the armies of God. That's a key right there. And when Saul heard of what David said, he sent for him, and David said, don't give up hope. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said, you can't go fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced. Well, you know something? That was a lie. Because if age and experience counted, he would have been out there fighting. He was an experienced warrior. So if you tell him, no, the only man in the nation willing to go out, you tell him, you're too young and inexperienced. See, if I were David, I said, well, you're not Saul, so you go. Saul's faith in his covenant was not full. David said, look, I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. And he was just a kid. Some of the sheep were probably bigger than he was at the time he was given that job. And he had to find a way to make those sheep obey him. He had to keep all the predators away from the time he was a child. He wasn't just given that job 2 weeks before Goliath showed up. He said, I've been a shepherd tending sheep. Whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, that's a key phrase. He said, if it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat and wring its neck and kill it. Folks, when the enemy comes to take things from you, you have a right to go and get it and take it back. If they turn on you, there's a bigger price to pay. If they're unwilling to let you have what's yours, they got to go. They got to go. David, if they just let me have what's mine back, everything's cool. They turn on me, I will wring its neck and kill it. A lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who's taunting the troops of the God alive God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear. The same God, he'll deliver me from this Philistine. And so Saul said, go and God help you. Why didn't he say, I'm going to go and God's going to help me? Folks, When we're talking about, you know, do I have enough faith or can I do this with my faith? Every believer has faith. Every Israeli, during every one of them, they had a covenant with God. Only one had a revelation of their covenant. Only one was operating in the fullness of their covenant. Only one. And he was a teenager. And all of these seasoned Hebrews were afraid. Have a covenant with God and afraid. Christians, having the measure of faith with which nothing is impossible, afraid to confront the devil, especially when Jesus specifically said to us, I give you power over all the power of the devil, all of it, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Why are we backing down? Because we don't have the revelation of what that means, so our faith isn't full. We're full of empty faith. And we won't act when things happen. David was willing to act. Saul gave him all of his armor. I find that amazing. He's giving it to David, but he doesn't think it'll work for him. So he gives it to David. David said, I can't even move with all this stuff on. So he took it all. He took it all off. Ooh, okay, Lord. God just told me something. David took off all of Saul's armor, like we're supposed to take off all of the world's stuff. Because David said, I can barely move in what you've given me. You need to feel that way about the world. You can barely move into the things you need, the exploits you need to do for God when you're burdened down with the stuff of the world. Take it off. Like David did, he took it off. And the Philistine was pacing back and forth. Shield bearer in front. He noticed David. He took one look at David and sneered. A mere youngster, apple-cheeked and peach-fuzzed. The Philistine ridiculed David. Am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? No, you're a pig. Okay. And he cursed them by his gods, little g. Come on, said the Philistine, I'll make roadkill of you for the buzzards. I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice. David answered, you come at me with a sword and spear and battle axe. I come at you in the name of the God of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you. Cut off your head and serve up your body and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and coyotes. The whole earth will know that there is an extraordinary God in Israel, and everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God. He's handing you to us on a platter. Now, you have to understand something. Again, about covenant and about having a revelation of the covenant. David knew that it was his covenant with God that allowed him to tend the sheep. God had to make the sheep obey. The lion was bigger than the sheep. David's position was the same covenant that allows me to keep the sheep allows me to protect the sheep from this lion. The bear is bigger than the lion. The same covenant that allowed me to keep the sheep, allowed me to protect the sheep from the lion, will allow me to protect the sheep from this bear. Goliath is bigger than the bear. The same covenant that allowed him to keep the sheep, that allowed him to protect him from the lion, and the bear will take care of Goliath too. And if something else comes bigger than Goliath, the same process happens. If you have that revelation and your faith becomes full, you don't care what comes. The same God that saved me will take care of me. The same way I became a believer, I stay a believer. The devil tried to keep me from getting born again. I spoke the words and believed it. God saw me through. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. If sickness comes, the same God that delivered me from the devil, that saved me and made me a new creature, will take care of this illness. I mean, it's the same. If you have that revelation, folks, your faith becomes full and you operate in it with results. Doesn't matter if the enemy gets mad. Goliath got mad. Now, you can imagine someone 10 feet tall, I don't know how much he weighed, starting to run at you. David ran at him. Stop running away from stuff. And start any predator, when you turn and run at it, it's going to stop because they're not used to being chased. I saw this is a huge lion, full-grown male, running. It was the funniest thing. It was running after this little fawn. Now, the fawn didn't know. The fawn was just out of it. He didn't know what to do. But in its running, it turned toward the lion and ran a few strides. This huge lion stopped like, whoa, wait a minute. And that hesitation allowed the fawn to get away. He didn't know what he was doing. He just running in circles, just happened to run towards him. And the lion stopped. It's not used to being chased. Okay. The devil's not used to your resistance. That's why the Bible tells us, resist the devil and he will flee. Because he knows if you can resist him, you can whip his natural behind. So the minute someone stands up against him, he's like, I'm out of here. But you're not going to resist. You're not going to stand if your faith isn't full. And your faith is never going to get full if you don't have a revelation as to what it is. So David ran toward Goliath, and it's not like it's in those movies where he's ducking behind stones and all of that stuff. He's running, and he does what he's used to. Flings the rock. We need to do what we're used to. Speak the word. David flung the rock, and he didn't fling it in hope. He didn't fling it wondering, you know, am I going to hit him? And his job was to release it at the enemy. God's job was to take his action and do something with it. When you speak words of faith out of the fullness of your faith, God takes it and can work with it. If you just release random stuff somewhere, hoping, there's nothing to grab onto. That's why it's important that your faith is full. The same God, keep the sheep, deliver from the lion, deliver from the bear. That same, didn't they need to get more of God? Didn't need to get a bigger covenant because it was a bigger problem. The same covenant that he had from the time it was, before he was a child, from the birth of the nation of Israel, that same covenant was all that was necessary to kill Goliath. The same covenant. The same faith that you use to get saved will deliver you from stage 4 lung cancer. The same faith. If you believe it, the same way. You really believed you were saved. Nobody can talk you out of it. You change your life, you change your friends, you change your habits, you change your dress, you change everything because now I'm a child of God. Yes. Don't change back because the circumstance shows up. The same faith that made you a new creature is enough to sustain you for the rest of your life, no matter what comes, how it comes, or how often it comes. And you need to know that so that your faith will be full. You don't need a different God. He didn't need a different covenant. He didn't need anything, another dose. All he needed was the same God that delivered him the same God that caused him to be able to be a good sheep herder is all he needed to defeat Goliath. The same God. How much are you going to allow the same God to work on your behalf? Everybody may be a Christian. Everybody may have faith, but not everybody is operating in the fullness of your faith. I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. In 2 Peter 1, Amplified Classic, it tells us some things we need to do to help us develop the fullness of our faith. It says, use our faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising virtue, that means in being virtuous, develop knowledge, intelligence. Knowledge of what? Who you are in Christ, how you're supposed to conduct yourself as a Christian, what God will do for you. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. You don't just respond any old way, any old time, at a whim. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness. That's patience and endurance. You have to develop that. And you develop that by faith. Because none of these things work without faith. Faith says, I can work because God's got this. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, that means you can't have too much patience, you can't have too much love, you can't have too much self-control. The more of it you have, the better. It said it will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the Lord, unto the knowledge, personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, seeing only what is near to him and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his own sins. Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous. Make it a point. Make it a priority. Be eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election, who you are and what you're supposed to be doing. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. Never. Folks, we have to develop the fullness. We have to allow our faith to become full. Full. And we do that by getting a revelation as to what faith is and what faith does. It's very simple. Faith allowed me when I was a child to herd sheep. That same faith, used the same way, took down Goliath. The same faith. And whatever else comes, it will take that down too, if it's been developed and you release it without fear. I'm done. I thought I was. The early church Remember, how was the woman with the issue of blood healed? What did she do? She touched the hem. Because her faith said, I have to touch the hem. Jairus' faith said, come. Because my daughter, your presence needs to be there. Centurion said, speak the word only. Speak the word only. The early church. So they laid hands. They spoke the word only. But it didn't stop there. Because they say, hey, these things happen by faith. So that means I can lay my hands on cloth and you can take the cloth and put it on someone and they'll be healed. Amen. Another level. Another revelation. Then they said, you know what? Put everybody, the apostles usually pass by around this time. Get all the sick and line them up over here. So when they pass by, their shadow passing over them and they will be healed. Same faith needed to lay hands. It's the same faith. I just need the shadow to pass over me. Same faith. That's why more times you hear Jesus say, your faith has made you whole. Become what you believe. God did his part. He gave us the measure of faith. He gave it to us. We have to get the revelation of that measure. We have to, so we'll know what it does. And then become full. See, it's okay with faith to be full of it. Because then you'll be able to do all of it. Say faith. Become full of it. And do all of it. Say it again. Faith. Become full of it. And do all of it. Faith. I'm becoming full of it, and I'm doing all of it. Do you understand? Give the Lord a praise. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the word that you've shared with us this morning, Lord. Thank you for the understanding of the word that you shared so we know what to do with it immediately. Thank you for allowing the Holy Ghost to show us those areas in which we need a revelation of the faith that we have as to what it can do, what it does do. Our desire is to speak and our words be full of faith every time we speak, Lord. Because people are watching. The world whom you put us here to subdue is watching. And they need to see a mighty people who are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. They need to see miracles happen with you working through our hands. And for that to happen, Lord, we need to start operating in the fullness of faith. And we thank you that in the days and weeks and months to come, Lord, that our understanding of what we can accomplish with the faith you gave us keeps growing, keeps growing, keeps growing, keeps growing. The revelations keep coming, and we keep advancing. Thank you, Lord, that you're holding back the night so that we can do our part, which is getting all men saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Thank you, Father, for the release that you gave to those that came earlier to the altar. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't want them to leave here the way they came, that you came to make them free. And we thank you that, as this word says, they are now free indeed. And we give you glory for that. We thank you, Lord, that as we dismiss from this place, no evil shall befall us. We thank you because your word says that you keep our going out and our coming in henceforth and forevermore, and we believe your word. So we can declare that as we travel, there'll be nothing negative that will happen to any of us. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we give you praise. Hallelujah.